How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network returning to Sports Byline USA every Sunday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, a block every weekend. Wrestling Observer Weekends. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide all over the place. We're on TuneIn Radio, SportsByline.com, WrestlingObserver.com. It is literally impossible, I would say, to not be able to listen to this show virtually anywhere you are in the world. We're going to be taking your phone calls for the next 40 minutes here on the program. 855-478-4478 is the toll-free number. That is 855-478-4478. The phone line's already ringing this morning, but we're going to start those in about 5 minutes here on the program. At about 40 after the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by the former and maybe future Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, Adam Cole is going to be on the program here today. He's going to be talking tomorrow's Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view. And yes, tomorrow's show is available on pay-per-view, not internet pay-per-view, pay-per-view. You can sit down in front of your television, order it, and watch it. We're going to be talking about that. It is a very, very busy weekend for pay-per-views. We've got UFC tonight. There are actually about a million shows between Invicta, Japan, so many things to talk about here today. There was a big show at Arena Mexico last night. We can talk about all of that. Of course, on Monday, Vince McMahon did a live podcast with Steve Austin, which aired on the WWE Network. We can talk about that. The second part of the CM Punk interview, whatever's on your mind, we'll pick up the phones right after the break, 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined, as always, by Mike Semper Vivi here for Wrestling Observer Weekend, Saturdays and Sundays on Sports Byline USA, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, Sundays at 3 Pacific. And we'll be taking your phone calls and emails for about the next half hour, and then we will be joined by Adam Cole talking the Ring of Honor pay-per-view that airs tomorrow. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm glad to see you're awake after doing After Dark last night. I know it's very early for you on the West Coast.
It is very early after a very late night, but no rest here at the Empire. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
Got some huge women wrestling scoops for you today.
Oh, man. I know Ed is listening right now, but I don't know if he's going to call. What's happening?
Well, last night I went to a wrestling show, and Tessa Blanchard was sitting right behind me.
Wow.
Wait a second. No, wait. She was sitting behind you.
Meaning you had better seats than Tessa Blanchard.
Okay, I'm dyslexic. I was behind Tessa Blanchard.
I see, okay.
I was going to say, the chivalrous thing to do would have been to give her your front row seat.
That's right.
Okay, but anyway, Tessa Blanchard said that WWE is interested in doing a program with her and some other girl against the Bella Twins. Have you heard anything about this?
Did she say who the other girl was?
She was actually in the audience, and it looked just like Tessa Blanchard. It looked like it could have been her sister, but I don't think it was.
Hmm. Well, I have not heard anything specifically about that, but I have heard her name mentioned. I don't know if she's going to be coming in. I don't know if because we're talking about it on the show, maybe she's not going to be coming in anytime soon. But I would not be surprised to see her within the next 365 days. But I have not heard of anything imminent.
Okay. Another big scoop I have for you is at the show last night, Mandy Leon turned heel in won her match in a number one contenders match. Has she ever worked as a heel before?
It's a good question, Mike. You're our resident Mandy Leon expert. Has she ever worked as a heel before?
I don't believe so. No, she started in Ring of Honor. Every time I've seen her, she has been, you know, either teaming with Hania against Ed's girls.
Mia Yim and Leva Bates.
No, not Yim and Bates, but
oh, he has other girls.
Well, it's I'm brain locking on them right now, but I don't think so. You know, again, I think she's just been on the good girl side of the coin. And I think of Jenna Rose and who's the one with the glasses? And I can't believe I'm forgetting this right now.
It's early in the morning, but I know who you're talking about. Ring of Honor.
Yes, exactly her. Somebody's going to call in and take us to task for this.
It'll be on Twitter in 2 seconds. That's right. You know, I got. Hey, listen, I'm going to outscoop Ed and everybody else. I have more fascinating women's wrestling news. Does the name Santana Garrett ring a bell, Mike?
Yes. I can't remember what her name was in TNA, but
Brittany,
yes, I do.
In TNA.
Brittany, yes.
Her contract has expired. She is no longer in TNA, which means it sucks to be Sam Shaw. Ed should know all about this, actually. He was there at the show last night where she made her big return, the Shine Show. Ed's in the airport right now as we speak. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Nate from Tulsa.
What's up, Nate?
How's it going? Is this kind of open forum, kind of just discussing whatever?
Whatever's on your mind, my man.
Gotcha. I was at the Raw this past week in Tulsa.
That's unfortunate for you.
Well, I just want to kind of take the task a little bit of what you and Dave were talking about on your previous show. All the way up until an hour before the show, half the tickets for that event were not available. It was the lower level and half the 100 section. So the fans in attendance, the place was 95% full, and that place was loud. Unfortunately, the hard camera side wasn't as loud as the people on my section. I was actually the guy that held up the staffing section sign.
Really? We got you on the air. How about that?
Yeah. And for anybody wondering, I was able to bring it to the arena because the staff that works at the BOK Center doesn't care what kind of signs you bring, just as long as it's not profanity on there.
So just to clarify for everybody listening, you brought a sign that referenced a staph infection, and the people there eventually came up and they took it away from you. And was it you who they asked, do you have any more signs about that guy?
That was absolutely me. And somebody, you know, was representative of WWE, and, you know, all things considered, he was pretty cool about it. I just thought it was funny that he said, do you have any more about that guy?
He who cannot be named. That guy.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. Exactly. I have been to live WWE events, and it really depends on where you're sitting. Sometimes I'm sitting in an area and just nobody cares. And so you sort of think, man, this show is dead. And then you go watch it on television, and they're like, it appears everybody's out of their minds. And in other days, you're like in a really rowdy section, but apparently nobody else in the building is rowdy, and you think, man, what a hot show. And then you go home and watch it, and it's like, man, nobody cared about this show. That sounds like what you experienced.
Exactly. A perfect example. After they came and took the sign, there was, you know, a couple handful of people in my section knew what the sign was referencing, but overall, no one in that section had no clue what I was talking about.
Really?
When AJ's Lee's match was going on, you know, our section started a small CM Punk chant. The section that, I guess you can say, directly behind the ring started it up pretty loud also, but it doesn't come across as loud on television.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I thought that, I mean, as I noted last week, the Colt Cabana podcast, I mean, over 1 million people listened to it on YouTube alone, not to mention people who downloaded it off iTunes and everything else. I mean, a lot of people heard that podcast, but apparently, I guess if you extrapolate to the entire United States and the number of people that go to wrestling shows, really, it appeared nobody at that event knew anything about it.
Not a clue.
It's crazy. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call and getting that that sign on television. I don't know, Mike. You gotta try, I guess, to get your sign out there. But his was very, very large and obvious, and it was a target.
Yes, don't write anything about the guy from Goldman Sachs, though. That might get you sued. Remember that famous WCW?
That's
Nitro
right.
Sign? That's just don't do that. And Jenny Rose and Veda Scott.
There you go. Good job, Mike. What was that sign? It was something like, it was a guy's first and last name. And then what did they say about him? Like he was an idiot or he was...
I think there were a couple of them. It was like Peter Goldschmidt, something like stole from Goldman Sachs or something like that. But there was like a series, like the guy went from show to show, or at least a handful of shows and actually got signs up.
And then Peter Goldschmidt ended up filing suit.
Yes, and winning, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't mess with your signs, everybody. Come on.
Especially not if the guy is an executive at Saks Fifth Avenue, which apparently he was.
That's right. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ed from Cleveland.
What's up, Ed?
Enough with this boys talk. Let's get to the dudes. With all those rumors of Punk being in Vegas, what do you think his odds of UFC or even Bellator would be, and what weight class do you think?
Well, I think everybody is jumping the gun thinking he's actually going to fight. I think that it's very likely he'll do a Metamoris. I think that the idea that at his age, a full mixed martial arts fight, I mean, it's one thing to do grappling. He can do a Metamoris and not get hurt at all. I mean, as long as he's willing to tap if he gets put in a really bad situation, he's not going to get hurt doing a grappling competition. But having to start from square one with striking and wrestling, the whole nine yards, I mean, the learning curve, I just can't see him doing it. I don't even know in a lot of places whether he could even get licensed to go in and have a UFC or Bellator fight. I suppose Bellator could run in, I don't know, Texas or something. They'd license a dead man to get in the cage. But most places, there's no way he could even, I don't think, get licensed to have a fight against a professional. When Dana White says he's interested in talking, I think he's mostly talking about, you know, coming in and maybe doing commentary or being an announcer or something like that. But listen, stand by. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll talk to you more after we get back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined as always by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking CM Punk. Last caller was asking about the possibility of him going to UFC and has noted, I think, maybe an announcer, something of that nature, but the idea that he will be fighting, I think, is highly unlikely.
Yeah, probably a cool guy hanging out, has secured himself really good seats for every show he wants to go to. I always thought UFC should do something, you know, bring back legends and actually have things like, you know, UFC sponsored grappling competitions and amateur things and just little things like that. You know, if they, you know, great wrestlers, you know, putting on exhibitions or bringing guys in to do things like that. I guess in a way that's kind of what Metamoris is. Everybody is, you know, it's kind of an open thing. It's like PWG, you know, as long as you don't do anything that's going to hurt your representative parent company, you can go there and do, you know, do your thing. And maybe that's what he does. I just, you know, it on top of what you said, you know, the guys like Bobby Lashley and Batista and guys who give it, you know, the old college try and give it a shot. It's a lot easier when you're a heavyweight to find another heavyweight out there to, you know, where there could be one big blow that lands. And there's, you know, look at the top 10 list of the UFC heavyweights compared to some of the other divisions. I'm not putting down anybody in the UFC heavyweight division, but I think it's a lot easier for a heavyweight or super heavyweight to go in there and have a one punch chance or something like that. And it's easier to find opponents for that guy, I think, than it would be for a CM Punk who, you know, if you talked about him seriously going in there and getting licensed, you know, like, again, what weight could he go in there at? I mean, goes in at 170, 185, things like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of tough sledding, and I think it would be tougher to find an opponent that way than it would be for heavyweights, and I think that's the same way for boxing too.
Who was that one football player that came in a few years ago that was pretty old?
Johnny Morton?
Herschel Walker.
Oh, okay.
Herschel Walker, that's it.
Man, Mike, you just got stumped on football trivia by me.
Well, I mean, yeah. Herschel Walker was a freaky case, though. I would say, you know, more of an example would be like a Johnny Morton who did go in there, and I forgot who slaughtered him, and then he ended up testing positive for steroids, too. But it was that K1 show that Brock Lesnar was on when they ran the Olympic the stadium in L.A.
You know, one other thing about Punk very quickly, and I want to thank you very much for the call, is when Henner Gracie was talking about Punk a couple of days ago, he talked about how I see Punk every now and then. He said, like, every couple months or every 6 months, CM Punk will come to L.A. and he'll just go 2 weeks straight. He'll train like a crazy man. He's there all the time. And then he'll disappear. And Henner won't see him for, like, another 6 months. And CM Punk has got a wife. He's got other things that he's doing, the Marvel Comics, stuff like that. And he would have to really devote a good 3 to 6 months or longer of, like, you're in there every single day and you're training to get ready for a fight. And I don't know if at this period in his life he is willing to do that. That's the other reason that I think it's more likely he would do a grappling match.
He really want to get punched in the face.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, for one day, I think he'd be okay getting punched in the face just to...
Well, all the training leading up to that, even with the headgear on.
Well,
it's not like Punk has not taken shots or doesn't know, you know, but still.
And with all of... I mean, if he really... I think on the Colt Cabana podcast, they said he had like 12 or 13 concussions. I mean, stay the hell away from fighting, dude, if you've had 12 or 13 concussions. Just don't do it. Get in there... Learn some grappling. It is a lot easier to learn how to not be submitted than it is to learn how to submit someone who's pretty good. And if you can learn some submission defense and you can go in there to a Metamoris, your whole goal is not even so much to win if you're at CM Punk's position. Your whole goal is to go in with somebody better and try to survive the 20 minutes. And with a little bit of training, he probably could do that.
And with his mentality, too, that's really right up his alley, the continued challenge, you know, going. Obviously, any type of martial art you get into, you're not going to be good right away, and you're always going to run into somebody better, and the only way you get better is by facing somebody better. It's, you know, the whole, is it, you know, iron, whatever it is, that line goes, but, you know, the iron sharpening iron or whatever the hell it is, you know, you're only going to get better. And Punk, you know, being a driven guy that he is and having a lot of life in front of him, To me, jiu-jitsu or you know, something, taking that path to like an Abu Dhabi or grappling competitions, I think that's actually something that he would be really, really good at, considering they have, you know, age levels and they have experience levels and things like that. I mean, you can stay active and constantly be in competition, keeping yourself active without killing yourself, too. Obviously, you know, your joints and things like that. But, you know, he's still in pretty damn good shape for compared to most of the country. So, you know, a long way to go. I think that's something that absolutely could be very interesting. And if I'm a Bellator or UFC, you know, I'd want to make friendly with him too, because I just think that would be something you could showcase and have, you know, a little bit of fun with.
We are here every Saturday morning, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And for more, for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. That is our website. 2 radio shows every single day up on the website. Plus, if you sign up at any time, not only do you get full access to all of our members-only daily shows, but our entire archive dating back to 2005 is available right now for you. In fact, if you signed up right now, it's like you signed up in 2005. You can go to those archives. We have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. We have radio shows covering every major event, television show, pay-per-view, etc. over the last nearly 10 years. Our archive is bigger, I believe, than the archive on UFC Fight Pass. It is for sure bigger by over double than the WWE Network archive. So if you love this show and you love audio, not only can you hear us Sundays as well at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, but you can hear us every single day, twice a day, brand new shows only for members at WrestlingObserver.com. Make sure you head up and check that out. You also get full access to the Observer and Figure 4 newsletters, which come out every week. And I wrote a new column in Figure 4 Weekly this past week about the very strange situation. It was a Raw show from 1995, and it was shortly after Shawn Michaels was attacked by allegedly 9 Marines in Syracuse, and they had this amazing video from his doctor in 1995, mind you, talking about the dangers of concussions, the dangers of multiple concussions. It can keep you out of action for years. You could even die. It afflicts boxers and football players. All of this, by the way, in 1995, followed by a soliloquy by Vince McMahon, which essentially placed all the blame for injured wrestlers on you, the fans. Craziest thing. Mike, what did you think of the Vince McMahon, Steve Austin podcast on Raw, following Raw, this past Monday night?
I thought it was an old guy who was a CEO of a company who gave CEO-type answers to his questions and gave old guy insulated answers to his questions. I wasn't surprised by any of it. I thought, you know, nobody else could, I think, could have done a better job with Vince McMahon than Steve Austin doing that podcast. I think, you know, the timing of everything just, you know, it fell perfectly. As far as, again, if you've been following WWE for any, you know, little bit of time now, it's been tough to watch. It's kind of been tough to watch. And, you know, if you ever wondered why, they did a good job on their own network kind of, exposing why, because I don't think to anybody, unless you happen to be the newest person around the block that to come to WWE, that, you know, Vince's answers kind of told all the issues that, you know, that people have, you know, talking about we have to have all of these writers now. No, you don't. No, you don't. Other promotions prove that. Other places prove that. Communication. Well, that kind of was a lie, and CM Punk called that out very easily. And plus, if you have any knowledge of how Vince McMahon and spiteful that he can be and how spiteful the WWE can be at times, you know, I'm sorry. You know, even if it was a complete accident, it's not like anybody's probably going to believe you because of your history. Just things like that. Again, not a shock. I think it's good to watch. If you haven't watched it and have the chance to, you should watch it because you can, you know, this is a 69-year-old man, and we talk about he and Kevin Dunn and other people there, you know, not sticking with the status quo that's been around for way too long and making decisions. Again, they need new eyes. They need a lot of things, but really what they need is somebody that they can trust to give them a little bit of just a fresh look and some new eyes, because they've always been that way as far as not kind of being out of their bubble. But right now it's really worse than ever. And they are an injury or two away of just a complete debacle. You know, everything will be smoothed over and happy times again, because we're going into WrestleMania season from January to April. Everybody's always happy. And every year they go into malaise, and every year the carving out of how deep they dig themselves just goes a little bit deeper. You know, they're not going to go out of business anytime soon. But with that said, they haven't put on a entertaining product to watch in quite some time. And people, they're not even getting mad about it anymore. They're just being very apathetic towards it and quietly turning it off. And the ratings have proved that. This week was a great example. You know, far more people tuning out in the third hour than tuned out in the first hour. That's just shouldn't be that way. And it's been happening for way too long.
All right, everybody, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, Adam Cole is going to be on the show talking tomorrow's Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by our special guest. Adam Cole is here on the line, former Ring of Honor champion, former PWG champion, and maybe, after tomorrow, the current Ring of Honor champion. Adam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I was told by a secret source, whose name that I cannot mention, that you are currently driving through a torrential downpour on your way to Delaware, where you're going to put a beating on Mark and Jay Briscoe's father. Is that correct?
That's actually incorrect. I've actually already done the beating to old Papa Briscoe in Baltimore, and I'm going to save the beating for the rest of the Briscoe family tomorrow live on pay-per-view for the world.
Man.
Plus, he needs something to do for the ride back down. In case he does defeat Jay Briscoe, he may want to slap around some of the other members of the family on the way back to Panama City.
Exactly. There's nothing more fulfilling than just beating up anyone named Briscoe.
Uncle Jethro, you're next.
I thought you were going to say there's nothing more fulfilling than beating up an old man.
Yeah, that too.
You put a beating on Papa Briscoe, and of course that is leading to the show tomorrow, where you will be fighting, without honor, I might add, for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. You're facing Jay Briscoe in the main event of the pay-per-view. You guys have battled many times before. What are you thinking about tomorrow's match? Are you ready for a fight without honor?
I think so. It's weird. If you spend too much time thinking about the brutality that's going to happen in a match like Fight Without Honor, considering the fact that me and Jay have been feuding now for 18 months, I mean, the tension has never been higher. Obviously, mentally preparing for this is something that you can't physically do. You just have to realize that you have to go in there with everything that you have. It's live on pay-per-view. It's Ring of Honor's second pay-per-view. It's in New York City. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
You know, we had, I don't know if it was Jay Lethal that we were talking to last week, but I was talking to somebody, and I mentioned the show. I mentioned the venue, which is Terminal 5, and they were like, what the hell is Terminal 5? And I didn't know either. Have you worked in this building before? What can you tell us about Terminal 5?
I've never worked in this building, but I've seen pictures of this place, especially when it looks packed, and it looks awesome. I mean, the environment has like a very Fight Club-esque feel to it, and especially considering the fact that this show is completely sold out. I think it's going to be a really, really cool venue, and I think it's going to look awesome on pay-per-view.
Yeah, it says on Wikipedia that alcoholic beverages are served during events along with light snacks. So you don't want any of the food to get in the way of a rowdy crowd who may be drinking. So it may be a very hot, loud, rowdy crowd that that sees this fight without honor.
Exactly. Yeah, well, and considering the fact, too, that the New York fans are always you know, so great for us when we come to town, and it being a pay-per-view, it being Final Battle, I think this is going to be really, really cool.
And you know those Briscoes are going to be drinking the whole time.
Well, of course they are. They're alcoholics, man. And another reason why I should be Ring of Honor World Champion and not Jay is just a terrible representative for Ring of Honor.
Now, I don't know how much you know or can even talk about this year, but the New Japan Tokyo Dome show is coming up, and Red Dragon is working the show. And I was really hoping that I would have an opportunity to see either you or Jay working on the show. And right now it's looking like that is not going to happen. Were you ever under the impression that this was a good possibility? Are you kind of disappointed with how things went down? Or did you sort of never get it confirmed? You never really felt it was going to happen. What are your thoughts on it? And do you think you'll be working New Japan sometime here in the future?
Well, I did hear some rumblings that there was a possibility that I was going to be a part of the Tokyo Dome show, which obviously, man, that, you know, that made me ecstatic. You know, the idea of not only working for New Japan again, but getting to work the Tokyo Dome certainly would have been something really cool to check off the bucket list. But obviously we have, you know, a Ring of Honor television taping that same weekend, so it'd be really difficult for that to happen. So nothing was ever confirmed. But of course, you know, that would have been awesome to be able to do that. Certainly, I can tell you, I think things are looking good for me in 2015 as far as returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Everything went really well the first time when we did those joint shows with Ring of Honor and New Japan earlier this year. I made a good impression there. So from what I've been told, I'll definitely be back in New Japan sometime next year.
There's been a lot of changes over the past year in not only Ring of Honor, but the wrestling business in general. And what are your thoughts on tomorrow, should you win the title, and really whether you win the title or not, you're still in the main event. You are essentially now part of the de facto number two wrestling promotion in this entire country.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. When you think back to 2014, to me, it's so crazy how much Ring of Honor's grown this year. And I really, like, to me, it all started with, and I got to give this guy so much credit, but literally it felt like when we did that television taping in Nashville at the beginning of this year, when we brought AJ in, it was like the entire attitude towards Ring of Honor kind of changed. And just really, really great things started happening for us. So, you know, obviously, the addition of having pay-per-view, we continue to add new television markets with Ring of Honor, us doing the joint shows and having a great relationship with New Japan. It's pretty wild, and it's pretty awesome to see how much we've grown. We just signed the new toy deal company thing where we got action figures coming out, which is awesome. So it's really exciting to think, you know, where we're going to be in the next even year or two.
Well, Adam, you're, you know, for all the experience that you have, you're a very young man. You're 25 years old, and being a young guy in the business, I'm sure the brass ring is still WWE, and being a part of WrestleMania is got to be an awesome goal for anybody that's breaking into wrestling. But with how everything has kind of changed this year, with Lucha Underground coming out with a different look and using film and different styles and having a little bit of a different view on things, and New Japan doing what they've been able to do, and Ring of Honor having the year that they've had, and even, you know, Dragon Gate over in Japan's had a great year, although a lot of people probably haven't been privy to it. What's it like to be a young guy in professional wrestling right now? Because there's always a lot of people with doom and gloom, and they always look at WWE and how, you know, look Vince McMahon's podcast. A lot of criticisms about WWE and how they look at guys, but what's it like to be a young guy in the business right now?
I think right now it's like literally the best time to be a young guy in pro wrestling, because exactly what you had just mentioned, with Lucha Underground, with Ring of Honor taking off the way it is, the exciting thing right now is exactly what you said. Of course, everyone someday wants to have a WrestleMania moment. Maybe they want to work for the WWE. But the cool thing right now is there's an opportunity for a lot of guys to make a living elsewhere instead of just working for the WWE. Like right now, I'm in a really good spot where, you know, Ring of Honor's really taking good care of me, with stuff going on with New Japan. That there's just a really good spot, or it's a good spot to be in right now as far as being a young guy, because guys can make comfortable livings, you know, elsewhere instead of just the WWE.
I know you can't speak for the entire roster, but just you personally. We had a caller last week who was asking about rumors that Ring of Honor guys were no longer going to be able to work for PWG. And you obviously have done a lot of work for PWG. You're a former champion. What do you know about that situation? Are you still able to take dates if you have no Ring of Honor coming up? Or how does this affect or not affect you?
Yeah, as of now, you know, I've been under a contract where I do have to get approval, you know, from Ring of Honor as far as working outside dates. And as of right now, no one has told me anything as far as not being able to work anywhere else. I have heard there's rumors as well, but as of now, that hasn't affected me whatsoever.
How many days a month do you work on average between Ring of Honor and any other promotions you're doing?
I probably work, it all depends for me. It goes like month by month. You know, there are some times where, you know, I'm working a lot, you know, like three times a week. And then there are other times where, you know, I work three times a month. You know, the biggest thing for me is, and you know, a lot of that determines whether or not I'm working overseas and things like that. But the thing is with ROH is they've actually kept me very, very busy. You know, as we speak, I'm on my way to New York City to do some more press work right before we head into the big pay-per-view tomorrow. Ring of Honor's kept me very busy even during the week, just doing media stuff, and even going down to Baltimore and speaking to people in Sinclair and things like that. Where even if I'm not wrestling, I'm very busy talking about wrestling or promoting wrestling and doing kind of that media press work as well. So, again, all of that is kind of a month-by-month basis for me.
Down to Baltimore. Don't you mean up to Baltimore from Panama City?
Up to Baltimore. That's what I meant. I'm real bad with my geography.
But sure. I am as well. I'm not even sure where the East Coast is, but I can understand that. Now, you have got the pay-per-view tomorrow, and as Mike noted, 25 years old. It is a fight without honor. Sometimes I think back to when I was 25, and I'm like, I didn't even know which way was up. I can't even fathom, like, everything that Adam Cole is doing here at 25 years old.
Weren't you writing Death of WCW at that time?
I was a little older than that. I'd gained a couple of years past 25. But at 25, I mean, you're pretty resilient. You don't work like a crazy style or anything like that. But obviously you work very hard. You have great matches. I mean, are you starting to feel the business on your body, or have you not reached that age yet where you wake up in the morning and it's like, I can't even stand up straight yet. I got to kind of move around a little bit.
No, 100% I'm starting to feel that. And I really started feeling it actually this past year. Like forever I felt like I was going on this ride where I'm like, awesome. I feel young. You know, I'm not that sore after matches. But certainly at 25, it's starting to catch up to me a little bit. So I definitely am starting to feel the bumps and bruises from pro wrestling.
We had Jay Lethal on, and I think he's 28. And he's like been around forever. And we brought up to him that you've been around so long that even though you're 28, I'm sure there's, and especially the Ring of Honor locker room, it's a pretty young locker room. I'm sure there are all of these people that look up to you as like this grizzled veteran at the ripe old age of 28. Are you starting to get that when you go into other locker rooms just because you've been around, you've been a Ring of Honor champion, PWG champion, you've been all over the place on television? Do you have these young guys coming up to you and looking at you as like this old grizzled veteran? Or even more strange, do you have people older than you who haven't been in the business very long that look at you as an old veteran even though you're younger?
You and Gargano telling war stories in the PWG locker room?
Yes.
Right. That 100% happens, and it's so weird for me because, again, like you said, with my age, being 25, it's very odd for me, even having a someone younger than me who's just getting into the business, or even guys older than me who either are just getting into the business or have been wrestling longer than me. But just fortunately for me, that the things I've been able to do. Will look at me for advice and critiques and things like that. And that was really, it was like a weird pill for me to swallow because forever I was that young guy always asking for advice. But it's really cool. Like I really enjoy that role of helping guys out. Like oftentimes I really help at the Ring of Honor seminars and I'll sit in the promo room or I'll sit and do, critique guys' matches and, go through drills with guys. And it's really cool. Actually, I definitely know that whenever my wrestling career is over, I 100% want to have a school someday, or I love doing seminars and things like that. So I do really enjoy it.
Wait till you're 40, and there will be people that can't even believe you're still alive.
Right.
You've been around so long. Well, listen, Adam, we got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. And don't forget, everybody, tomorrow is Final Battle 2014 on pay-per-view from New York City. Show is sold out. Adam, thanks so much for doing the show today. And, of course, thanks, everybody, for listening. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline USA. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, streaming live online. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Don't forget UFC tonight, everybody. Ring of Honor tomorrow. And I just wanted to mention, regardless of when you are listening to this on a replay or etc., we are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is at 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and Sundays at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. That means we are live here Saturday, and we're going to be live again tomorrow afternoon on Sports Byline USA. We'll be previewing the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from New York City, talking about all of the news and taking your phone calls as well. Mike, are you buying the Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
I was guilting you into buying it tomorrow.
I would have to buy it tomorrow because living in Delaware and so close to where the Briscoes are, they could just drive east and beat me up if I don't. And I don't want to just don't want that to happen.
The more I think about it, and you mentioned the alcohol that is being served at the show, and I think about the Briscoes being there, you just know that Papa Briscoe's going to done get his hands on that young Adam Cole during the main event. It's just got to happen.
In Hell's Kitchen, too, at a good old rock and roll place. Why not?
Inevitable. All right, everybody, we are out of here. Sunday afternoon, we shall return. 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, brand new show. 2 hours on Sunday taking your phone calls. Make sure you check it out. This show will be replaying throughout the week on our free stream up at WrestlingObserver.com, so check it out. Sports Byline as well. Thanks to Paul, Darren, everybody at Sports Byline, and you, the listeners, back again on Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.